You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave.
Happy Halloween.
This is Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the program. I hope you're still with us after what happened at the end of last hour. Todd gave us his Halloween sports names. I'm starting to hate Halloween.
Oh, come on. There's a few others I really wanted to sneak in there.
No, because you sent me, you rattled off 40 of them, and then you sent me another 10.
What'd you think of those? You got a chance to look at
them? There's some, okay. Just for instance, give the Dabo Sweeney Halloween nickname or name.
That would be Stabo Sweeney. Stabo. People get slashed and
the
stabbed.
The room laughed.
But I
Stabo Sweeney. I know this is a real name, but it's Stabo Sweeney today. And it's topical with Trevor Lawrence and the COVID.
Then Christmas, you got St. Nick Saban. You can get
you
that.
Could you could do that.
Yeah, no, don't get him started.
Sorry.
No.
I had Crawley Eastwick.
No,
that's like
no,
a picture
no,
from
but nobody knows. It's a picture from the 70s.
Did you do Nick Satan?
I had Cordell Slash Stewart. That's pretty good. Slash. The Slasher movie.
Any athletes from this generation?
Buffalo Bill Buckner. What about a size 14? Places the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again.
But you don't have any names. But you don't have any.
Pennywise Hardaway from It, the clown. Pennywise Hardaway.
Okay.
Silence of the CD Lamb.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There you go. I'm going to end it there. Paulie says I should stop.
Call it.
The others are bad.
You just peaked like Kevin Costner.
He went back to back.
That dude's on fire, man. Let him ride, toddler.
Okay.
Let him ride.
Let it ride.
Oh, no.
Quid pro quo, Clarice. You tell me things, I tell you things.
So creepy.
Todd is going to hit on 19. Let's go.
Whatever happened to your lamb?
Let's go.
You still hear the screaming of the lambs at night? You were with your uncle and aunt for a month. Why did you stay such a short period of time? Why so short? Fumbling fingers in the backs of cars.
Just so you know, this is a four-guest Meet Friday for Todd.
Running all the way to the FBI.
Spooky.
Oh, Governor, one more thing. Love your suit. Get this animal out of here.
Do you have any other sports names?
I had Ron George Jaworski. I had Hal Mummy. You don't like the old ones, though. Danny Torrance Tartable.
He's in the 70s,
like my shirt.
Danny Tartable.
Tony, with the look, you know.
Red Rum
guy. Danny Torrance Tartable. Delbert Grady Little. Remember the manager, Grady Little?
Yeah.
Delbert Grady.
What's Delbert Grady?
Delbert Grady was the scary guy from The Shining that he ran into in the bathroom there. Okay. Your son is a rather naughty boy.
No, we're good. We're good.
We should just do this the rest of the show. I could do another 90 minutes of this easy.
Delbert Grady's one that says, perhaps your son needs a little talking to. Perhaps a bit more, if you don't mind me saying, sir. When my wife tried to interfere, I had to correct her. And when my daughters tried to interfere with my duties here at the hotel, I had to correct them, too. I fear there's no other way. You must deal with this in the most harshest way possible, Mr. Torrance. Can you stomach that?
You are a creepy guy.
Yeah.
Like, you are. Like, it's not even a joke. You're a creepy guy.
You ain't going anywhere, Wendy. Go check out this. Go check it out, Wendy. You ain't going anywhere. Check it out. I said I wasn't going to hurt you. I was going to bash your head in. I was going to bash your head in.
Do you have any other sports names?
I had Sadell Treat, but I think it's Sadell Threat.
It is Sadell Threat. That's back in the 70s, too, I believe.
I had Regan Upshaw. Regan was the exorcist girl. Was named Regan, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's Regan Upshaw.
I had TP Sea Sawgrass, like the toilet paper. TP Toilet Paper Sea Sawgrass. That's not a name. That's a golf course. I had Tom 6 Feet Underwood. Everyone loves Tom Underwood. That's also from, like, what, the 80s, 70s?
I don't remember Tom Underwood.
You know, yes, you do. And I had Ray Knight of the Living Dead.
Yeah, once again, a 70s reference.
Okay. Silence of the
If you stopped at Silence of the CD Lamb.
I should have, but then you guys encouraged me.
But Paulie said no. Paulie said don't do it. And you never listen to Paulie, do you?
Nope.
I usually don't. It goes back to those days when I had, like, inappropriate ones, and he smartly, to protect me and the show and us getting lawsuits, he said, no, but you're not reading, like, any of those.
When Paulie would wave his arms, like, you know, he He was trying to help you back
then. Like 12 and like 9, he'd say, you're not reading
anything. I probably kept you employed 7 or 8 times.
Yes, because you'd go blue. And then because you knew you weren't getting reaction from the other ones because they were lame references.
And then I'd fight it a little bit. And he'd go, what don't you understand about why you can't say that on the air?
Welcome to the program. Already in progress, as you could tell. Michael Wilbon is going to join us coming up. Chris Fowler from the Mothership. And Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager. Right now, the big news with college football is Trevor Lawrence has tested positive, mild symptoms, but in the SEC, a player has 10 days in which to quarantine.
Chris Howler's coming on? That's perfect for Howler. Oh, you said Fowler, never mind.
Chris Howler.
He just walked right into that one.
Are you done?
I can't promise.
Okay.
She's so. Honest.
I'm done for now.
I didn't think so.
We got 2 full hours still to go.
Okay. Trevor Lawrence has 10 days in which he has to quarantine and make sure that he passed the test to face Notre Dame because they have Boston College coming up this weekend, and they went from a 30.5-point favorite for that game against BC. Without Trevor Lawrence, they are now down to a 23.5-point favorite. That's a 7-point swing because of Trevor Lawrence. It's also impacted the Heisman Trophy odds. It's also impacted national championship odds. Clemson is still the favorite for that, and Trevor is still the favorite for the Heisman Trophy. But if he misses the Notre Dame game, how many games can you miss and still be eligible or that you would qualify for the Heisman Trophy? I have no idea. I mentioned last hour that Ohio State and Michigan were in favor of Nebraska being able to play a game this weekend after the Wisconsin game got canceled because I'm told by a source that Ohio State and Michigan realized they could be in that same situation in the next couple of weeks where, hey, all of the Big Ten presidents voted that you could not play any non-conference games. When this started, the season started, they were told nobody could play any games other than the Big Ten games. Now that you have a cancellation with Nebraska, Wisconsin, Nebraska trying to schedule Tennessee, Chattanooga. And it felt like they were scheduling it and then asking for permission. And the Big Ten said no. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Texas against Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Penn State this weekend. The White Sox hired Tony La Russa. The Tigers quietly grabbed A.J. Hinch. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but if you're going to hire A.J. Hinch, you wait till the White Sox are hiring Tony La Russa and you go, you know what, that's going to get all the headlines here. And it did. The reaction to Tony La Russa, Hall of Famer, at age 76 going to the White Sox, and the number of concerned opinions that, well, how's he going to embrace, you know, today's analytics? I go, I thought he was embracing analytics back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. He's one of the first managers I remember who really managed the lefty versus lefty, righty versus righty bullpen. I always think it's funny, you know, when you see a manager, and this happened to us when we were playing, you know, Little League or American Legion ball. Like the manager would say to the left fielder, you know, like, hey, move. So you'd move like 2 steps. And then he would go, okay. Like you were in the perfect spot here in left field.
Move in just 3 more inches. Yeah, that's exactly
right. No, right there. That's good. Right there. That's it. And I kept thinking, God. My manager is so smart, he knows where they're going to hit the ball.
He does his homework and studies. He's 8, 9, 10-year-old kids.
Yeah, Paulie.
How often, and I really don't know because when I watch baseball, I'm not sure I could tell either way. How often is the manager or pitching coach calling the pitches pitch by pitch and the catcher? Because sometimes it seems all catcher, but a lot of times you see the catcher looking over to the dugout a lot. So I don't know if it's like 50%, 100%, 10%.
I'm not sure. I think it depends on how old is your catcher or pitcher or both. And some managers like to call all the pitches or, you know, they want that catcher to check in with them. But I think it really depends on if I have a young catcher, then I might be trying to help him there. Yes, McLovin.
I always find it weird when an ace wants a special catcher. Like I was growing up, Carlton had to have McCarver instead of Bob Boone.
Yeah.
It's got to be because of some of that, right? Like pitch calling.
Well, it's also how you frame a pitch. It's also how you get down in your stance. There are certain catchers who set up in a different way. You may have a taller catcher, a wider catcher. Manny Sanguian for the Pirates used to get down on one knee. And you saw, you know, Benito Santiago when he was a catcher. They got down differently into their crouch. And as a pitcher, you know, do you want somebody who's setting up lower? Do you want somebody who is a bigger target? Who frames the pitch better? But certain pitchers, we brought that up with John Smoltz. You know, there's certain pitchers that they want to throw to that guy for whatever reason. Phone calls are welcome. I think we have a poll question, don't we?
Yeah, we put up who would you rather have as a manager, Tony La Russa or A.J. Hinch? Very surprising results. 50-50, exactly 50-50, yeah. And a lot of votes are in.
Yeah, okay. Tony's a Hall of Famer. If I say, now, here's part of my problem with when it comes to coaches and managers. How many times did we go, oh, and who did they hire? Gene Shue, Dick Motta. And I go, these are the same coaches. They just go to another team. And the Cavaliers hire Lenny Wilkins. After a while, you go, we got to get some younger, you know, opinions in here, younger people, younger voices in here. But if Tony, if I say you can hire the third winningest manager of all time and a manager who won three world championships, then wouldn't you do that no matter what his age is? I guess that's what, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox are thinking. I was surprised just because I didn't know that Tony wanted to manage again. And I thought with a really young clubhouse and they're a playoff team, that surprised me. Yeah, McLovin.
Stan Albeck. He was one of those guys.
Yeah. NBA had that.
Jim Lynam from the Sixers. He went around a lot.
It felt like there was about a 20-year period where they weren't bringing in, you know, new head coaches. They just kind of recycled them. Yeah, McLovin.
Which team should I jump on the bandwagon? The Nets with three head coaches or the Sixers with three GMs? I'm very confused by like, I don't know. What is Elton Brand doing if Morey's in there?
I think Elton Brand might be just sort of he might be like public relations. Like I don't know if he's the boss anymore. Feels like Daryl Morey is the boss with Doc Rivers, but Elton Brand is the president, the 76ers. And in case you're just joining us, Mike D'Antoni has joined Steve Nash with the Brooklyn Nets. He's joining Nash with the Brooklyn Nets. And we thought D'Antoni, maybe he'd go to Philadelphia, maybe he'd go to New Orleans. So I think he was just the game of, you know, musical chairs. He was left without a chair to sit in. But, you know, D'Antoni with that style, I'm going to guess they're going to embrace how they played with the Phoenix Suns. You know, 7 seconds of offense. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you see Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid moving before?
Not this year. No, I don't think so. I think Doc Rivers wants to see what he has here. And you don't have to play like everybody else plays. Not everybody's a three-point shooting team. Or shouldn't be a predominantly three-point shooting team. In my opinion, if I have guys who are talented, I got to use their talents. I'm not going to make them into something that they're not. And I think that'll be the challenge for Doc Rivers here. You know, you got Horford's contract is not user-friendly. Doc is reunited with Tobias Harris, who played well, you know, with him with the Clippers. But, you know, it comes down to Embiid and Ben Simmons. Do they get along? Do they want to be great? And what do you add to every star player, every great player added something in their career? Every one of them. Because you don't just come in and go, I'm a finished product. It's now what do you add? That's when the challenge starts. And that's what I'd like to see with Simmons and Embiid. What do you add? Some phone calls here. 877-3DP show. Kyle in California. Hey, Kyle, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
First off, with the so the Nets hiring. DP, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Kyle.
Okay, sorry. So Mike D'Antoni with the Nets, the offense. I bet they're going to do the offense where they get the ball to KD and Kyrie, say, go score it, man. You guys are pretty good. And I honestly think they've still got a move to make. You know, KD and Kyrie, neither really three-point shooters, KD in the mid-range especially. And then Fritzy's Halloween name's fantastic. Please go back and look at how his eyes shoot up within the millisecond, craving your approval, post every name. I recorded it. I'm going to be watching it on loop all weekend. It was fantastic. Thank you, Fritzy.
Thank you,
you're
Kyle.
Welcome.
Were you craving my approval?
Yes. I like when you're laughing, when all you guys are laughing. That's I've told you that many times. I could book the greatest guest in the world when you when I make you guys laugh like that, or your Beat Red or Seton's laugh. That's just it's just the greatest feeling for me. It really is. I'm just being honest. I love when you guys are cracking up about something I said.
What happens when we're not?
Then it's very hurtful, and then I go drive home miserable, and then I talk to my wife all night about how everybody hates me at work, and that's basically how that goes.
Not everybody hates you at work.
Not everybody.
Like there's a couple people who like you
here or there.
Yeah, the big German likes you.
You could probably count on one hand. And there's about 15 of us.
No,
that's
it's not,
a
not,
great
even,
batting
not even one hand.
It's not.
No, it's just a couple. The big German's dog Penny.
Yeah. You got to start bringing the pets involved to count to get up to three or four.
The cleaning lady loves Todd.
Oh,
they
yes.
talk more than anybody.
Talk. We do. We communicate.
The woman who cleans the studio, she and Todd chatted up.
I try to be friendly. I think it's nice. She invited us all to her wedding and stuff. She's, you know, she wants to be part of the DP Show family. God bless her. It's nice. That's all. That's all
if,
I got.
If it was a guy who was cleaning,
I wouldn't say a word.
You would not say a word.
I'm far too busy making up Halloween names. And,
oh, I know. Right oh, now. When she comes in right after the show on Thursday, Todd just wants to talk to
how
me.
How you doing?
Hey. Usually I leave right after the show's over, pretty much. But then when it's cleaning lady, they I'm like, what are you doing yeah. here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. When Livia comes in, you don't even know her name.
I just found out.
Yes, thanks. I'm sure you
That's
do.
That's good. I'm going to jot that
yeah,
down.
But Todd goes, hey, she invited us to her wedding. I'm going to go. I go, you don't really know her. I mean,
I don't really get invited to stuff. So it's a night out. And with the, you know, with the pandemic, it may have to be put on hold, the wedding. But I'd like to attend.
Why yes, Paul.
When she's here cleaning and Todd's talking to her, I usually step out to give them some private time. So
well, I appreciate
chat.
That. He does do that.
But every once in a while, I'll walk back in and I'll hear, and I just bought this ointment. And then I hear, we get Cinemax for free working for DirecTV.
It's like, weird. I start reaching for things and topics that she's gotten. No, she doesn't want to hear from them with that. It's awkward. What kind of vacuum cleaner is that? I forget. I'm just looking for
you
something
to say.
You
are the greatest small talker I've ever been around.
To a certain extent, but then after a while, you're like.
No, because you'll say, how long does it take you to get here? Yeah, what route do you take? What kind of gas mileage do you get? How are your tires?
And they're
how
smiling on the outside. It? On the inside, they're like, this guy is really weird. Why is he asking me such specific
no,
questions?
No, she's a very sweet woman.
She really is.
Yes. By the way, if you're wondering about this flannel that I've got on, wonder no more. Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's. Flannel destination for the whole family this fall. Right now, they have their annual Flannel Fest at retail locations across North America. Shop their current flannels and the deals in store or online today. Great deals there at Cabela and Bass Pro Shops. All right, we'll take a break. Michael Wilbon will join us. More phone calls coming up as well. Let's synchronize our watches. 19 after the hour here on The Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of The Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Trevor Lawrence won't play against Boston College coming up this weekend, and he's had a big impact on the point spread. They were favored by 30.5 over BC, and that's down to 23.5 right now. Trevor Lawrence, 31-1 in his career. Clemson, his only loss was last year in the national title game to LSU. By the way, Clemson's never had a player selected higher than fourth overall in the draft. The only Clemson quarterback ever drafted in the first round. There's two of them, obviously Deshaun Watson. Paulie, would you like to take a guess on the other Clemson quarterback taken in the first round?
From the 70s?
Yes.
I'm blanking.
Steve?
Tannehill from South Carolina. I love that. No.
Fuller.
Oh, nice.
Steve Fuller.
Didn't work out.
No, it did not. I told Michael Wilbon years ago, I said, if you start this Pardon the Interruption show, you're going to be stuck with Kornheiser for 20 years. Well, we're on 19 years, Mike. Can you make it another year with Kornheiser?
I hope we can go longer than that. By the way, Steve Fuller, I actually knew that answer, Steve Fuller, quarterback the Bears, and he actually won a playoff game because Jim McMahon was hurt in 1984, the year before the super team and the shuffle and all that, and the year before they won.
He's in the shuffle video.
Steve Fuller, yeah. He beat, I'm pretty sure he was a starting quarterback, beat the Redskins, crushed the Redskins, and they were defending NFC champions in Washington. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say that anymore. The Washington football team.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, I think pretty much Fuller was number four, was in the video and won that game.
Growing up in Chicago, did you go as an athlete on Halloween?
Wow, Dan. No, I don't think I ever did. I did that when it's boring stuff like scarecrows and skeletons. I don't think I ever like got, you know, like, yeah, you mean like got dressed up as Gale Sayers or Ernie Banks or something?
Yeah.
You know, I must have done it once. I but you know what? You know this. You just couldn't get a uniform anywhere back then when we were kids, right? Yeah. Now you had a hat. Like, it was a big deal if you got a batting helmet. You went to a game on batting helmet day. But we didn't have uniforms and jerseys and stuff, did we?
I don't remember that. They weren't into marketing like that back right. then. And you could get those plastic batting helmets that they would, you know, strongly yes. suggest you don't use this in a real game.
That's right. That's it. So I think Scarecrow and Skeleton was as good as it got for me.
All right, let me start with Tony La Russa going to the White Sox and A.J. Hinch to the Tigers. I was surprised that the negative reaction was more towards La Russa coming yeah. back to the White Sox than A.J. Hinch going to the Tigers. Why is yeah. that?
Because we have a generation divide. We have a generation gap. You know, I mean, you and I grew up in what was called the original generation gap, right, between us and our sort of slightly post-World War II parents. That was supposed to be the big generation gap. That's nothing. That is nothing. We came around ultimately to, you know, I would say to my father, is all you want to do listen to Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra? And then in 30 years, I listened to Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra, right? Yeah. And then my parents said, oh, yeah, I'll try some Marvin Gaye. I'll have some more Marvin Gaye. I'll have some more. That is not happening. That is not happening now. We have a generation gap, which is frightening. And there are people in the organization, not to mention players who just look at La Russa as some fossil. And they don't want anybody who's not their age looking at Instagram all day. We have a really serious, uncrossable, making up a word now, not spannable generation gap in the world. And this hire, that's why I think we're hearing so much negativity about La Russa.
Well, a couple of things came to mind when I saw the hire. I was like, of all the people available, why Tony La Russa? And why does Tony want to come back and manage now at his age? That's a young team. It's a playoff team. And then you also had this, oh, he's not going to embrace analytics. And I go, wait a minute. That's what you're bothered by, that Tony won't embrace analytics? We just railed on Kevin Cash with Tampa embracing analytics. Now we want to make sure that Tony La Russa is going to embrace analytics. I'm thinking Tony was embracing analytics before I think any other manager was.
Yeah, to a degree. And that's the problem with today's baseball. You know, you have so many people who just want to be, they don't want to embrace. They want somebody to be slavishly devoted to it. They'd rather have a mathematician. They want all the business guys. They want guys who study and favor probability. They don't give a damn about having a manager who understands, you know, just the human element, the human condition. The fact that a guy might and his wife might be having a baby and he's going through something for 2 or 3 weeks at home. They don't want, no, just straight numbers. We don't want to have you actually manage people. I thought baseball took a massive step back a couple of nights ago. Massive step back. I thought it was a bad night for sport that we had a pitcher removed while he was trying to become Sandy Koufax or Bob Gibson for his team. I thought it was awful.
I asked Johnny Bench about that, you know, the role that the catcher can play, because that's who I want to hear from.
Yes.
The catcher is going to say, Skip, they're not even close on these pitches, or they're catching up to him. You know, his curveball doesn't have bite. You know, that fastball, it's getting up a little bit. Now, if you tell me that,
right.
That's what I want to hear. Not this guy when he gets into third time around in the lineup, he gets roughed up. I would have just left him in for Mookie Betts.
See how he got through that, because he has struck him out twice. But, Dan, they don't give a damn about what the catcher has to say. They're just studying cards. Yeah. Just think about the – okay, baseball's the worst, the most offensive at it right now. But think about pro football. You have coaches, they're not thinking about the logic at the in the moment going for two and what their team's morale is and what the opposition – no, they got a card. They're looking at statistical probability.
But this is where pitching staffs are headed, which I don't like it.
I don't either.
You're looking at, what this is going to be. Is this just a phase?
Nope. This is why so many people are up in arms about La Russa. It's not a phase. If it's a phase, Dan, it's one that you and I are not going to be on the other side of the end of the phase.
Yeah.
But I think we're looking at this is the way the sport has gone. And I can't anticipate what trend might replace it 20 years from now.
And I get it. I don't want to spend $300 million on Garrett Cole if I can spend $7 million a piece on 10 relievers who throw 100 miles an hour, and that's what their job is going to be. I mean, we're not going to see a contract like Garrett Cole's again in baseball because you don't need a starting pitcher. You might see those contracts for hitters, but you're not going to see it for a starting pitcher.
Unless it's the Yankees or – unless somebody's a wild card and so out of 30 teams, how many are going to not be, everybody has embraced in analytics. How many are not going to be slavishly devoted? Who's going to be a thinker? Who's going to be an outlier? There'll be somebody.
But the Dodgers, even with that payroll, they took Andrew Friedman from Tampa. So they took that philosophy and attached it to a big payroll. But the fact that we went, the Dodgers are – this is a bullpen game.
They have two starters. They have two starters who matter.
I know, but just the fact that you go – this is a World Series. We always got caught up in those pitching matchups. Like, who's starting game two? Right. The bullpen is.
That's what I mean. The Dodgers only have two starters is what I should have been saying.
Yeah.
Only have two. I mean, who's gone into a postseason being fine with that?
Having David Price, too, because he opted out. He would have been their third. He's Michael Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption. And then you have the situation with Justin Turner and baseball investigating the Dodgers. I think baseball should investigate baseball first, Mike, because how does this happen that it's inconclusive and then it is conclusive and then you take him out? Now, where does he go? And then what? He's not cordoned off. Why are we allowing results? When a game starts, should we be allowing for test results? They've been around everybody, and then you had what happened after the game as well, which I understand your teammates are fine with you. I'm not fine with Justin Turner being around the wives or girlfriends because they did not sign up for this.
Here, here.
The players did, but we had no positives for 58 days or whatever it was. And you have women. I think there was one woman who was pregnant.
Pregnant, yeah.
Yeah, and they're out there, and everybody's intermingling. And I had a real problem with baseball. And then Justin Turner was extremely selfish.
He was, and I'm trying to figure out if I might hold the Dodgers more accountable because they knew, Dan. Once, and I agree with you about why are you having results brought down in the middle of the game? Well, they couldn't have gotten that done at 6:58. Before the teams took the field. But the Dodgers have to have some accountability. I mean, a large amount of accountability. At least once, I presume it was baseball, told the Dodgers.
Yeah.
At that point, obviously there's got to be more protocols if you need more protocols. Well, apparently you do. But I don't know. The Dodgers and Turner, and I wonder where this is going. I mean, they may investigate. This is going to be, and I asked Tony this yesterday, it's going to be like the NHL. Where, if a hit results in a broken jaw, the guy's got to be out for 2 or 3 weeks or as long as he's out. But if there are no consequences, he could be back the next night. What happens to Turner, who particularly is a free agent? Is it based on consequences suffered by others because of his actions? I don't know that I want to see that, but this is hard. This is
I think you even brought up like a sliding scale. Sometimes our reaction or the punishment has to fit the crime. Well, what's the crime? If nobody tests positive here, is he fine? Is his fine not as large? Or if somebody happens to test positive. And he might have said, hey, I'm a free agent. I may never get to this point again. I may not be with the Dodgers next year. I'm going out. and I'm going to sit there in the photo, and I'm going to be part of history. He just didn't realize what part of history he's going to be involved in.
And there could be, you know, you hope just in terms of health and safety that this peters out, but it might not.
The NBA, The NBA talking about Christmas, and if they start on Christmas, the amount of money, I guess the rough estimate is around $500 million.
Yeah.
If not, they wait another month. What do you do if there's no fan? What if, does this come down to if LeBron says, I'm spending Christmas at home this year, I'm not playing until January?
Well, it could come down to him saying that, Dan, because obviously we know the influence he has. But I'm told yesterday and last night that there are quite a few players. Now, are the star players all aligned here? Look, if the star players are in lockstep and they just say, we're not doing this, is crazy. We're not doing this, and here's why. I right now, if you tell me over under December 22nd, I'm going to say beyond. I don't see it. And it's not just because of LeBron, but again, it's the word influencer in basketball starts with LeBron James. And I don't blame him. Now, I understand, though, that there are obligations. This is being driven by my bosses and the bosses at Turner. I mean, this is being driven by them. I mean, and I understand that no one wants to lose hundreds of millions of dollars. But what about the rank and file players who outnumber the stars, 10-1 in the NBA? What about the rank and file players for whom, you know, I think it's $550,000 on average? So what about the average NBA player who has that salary?
Yeah, because they're splitting the $500 million with the owners.
Yes, $250 million. I think I figured out it's about $560,000 a piece on average. Are those guys going to be in lockstep?
Yeah. Well, by the way, what are you up to these days?
Now nothing. I got there's no sports at night. I have nothing. No, you know, it's
are you watching anything good?
Not yet. So the week after the NBA playoffs, maybe 2 weeks out now, I just sort of, you know, putzed around and tried to act like a father and help a 12-year-old with homework that I don't understand. But that's going to end quickly. So it's like you're on your own, kid. So I'm waiting. Like, are we going to get scripted dramas back? I'm not a reality TV person. I don't care about reality TV. Are we going to get scripted dramas? I know This Is Us was on. Are we going to get, like, all my shows back? Am I going to have that? Am I going to be forced to read? You know, this is going – Dan, this goes back to when you and I were young in high school and there wasn't sports every night that we could see. And we had to be engaged by other things. Yes, there was sports, but not every night. There was Monday Night Football, and then you'd have to skip out till Saturday, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have stuff Tuesday through Friday.
Well, that's why I think the invention of Big Monday on ESPN established ESPN Sports Center, because you had big names, and then you had the Big 12 and the Big East, and it led into Sports Center. And back then, you didn't know what the end result was, or you didn't see the highlight, and you have a built-in audience. I think that played a large part in being able to carry those games, and they went right into SportsCenter, and then SportsCenter sort of took off and became a thing. But when we were growing up, you got 3 minutes local, and then you got Howard Cosell on Monday night, who might show a highlight of your team.
That's right.
At
if
halftime.
You weren't shown, that was it. You were done. You know, you were done. It was like a referendum on whether your team was relevant.
No.
If Howard got in there and you were in that 3 minutes, you got like 30 seconds of Walter Payton goose stepping in it for me. But we got all this time, and I get why. Look, remember a year ago, there was all this talk about the Atlanta owner. One of the Atlanta owners said we should shift the season and end it in the summer. How quickly has that been knocked down, right? I mean, the NBA can't wait to get out there. We have the NHL hasn't weighed in yet loudly, and the NHL season would be going on. They'd have been 3 weeks in by now.
Yeah.
So what are we going to have in that way? We don't have college basketball for a while until January. So it's not early pandemic dearth of sports, but it feels pretty empty.
it feels like we're going to be stuck in this for at least another year.
It does.
As far as affecting sports, when you can play, how long you can play, what are the safety protocols? We're finding this out with the Big Ten. The Big Ten, it feels like fragile right now because of what happened with Wisconsin. Does this happen? So how long are they out? How many games do they miss? That affects all these other schools. And the Pac-12 hasn't even started yet, Mike.
And the Pac-12, and look, I mean, the whole just, I mean, California and the fragile nature of the state and the number of teams they've got, what, four? I know, they haven't. And so the Big Ten situation is fascinating because they decided not to build in time.
I know.
They just said, this is what we're going to do. And remember, Dan, those Wisconsin quarterbacks have to sit, if those positives were confirmed, 21 days. This ain't like the ACC.
Well, they're trying to change it, though, Mike. They're trying to say that they didn't have enough data for the 21 days. Therefore, they want to kind of rescind
it to 14 or something.
I think it feels like an amendment's happening.
Yeah,
an addendum is happening soon here.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole college football season, you're just scared. I didn't know till very late last night. You want to know what I'm watching? I'm watching Law and Order reruns. I'm going to get through the whole 450 again. So I'm watching Law and Order reruns last night on Sundance. I can tell you off the top of my head which nights are on which networks. And something just said, even though there were no games, my son said, Dad, aren't you going to check SportsCenter before we get? And I said, no, there are no games. He goes, why don't you just check? You always talk about news. And I said, there's no news. Click Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, what is this really going to mean now?
Somehow he'll be available, I think, for the Notre Dame game.
Yeah,
just somehow. Somehow.
Yeah.
Hey, great to talk to you. Congrats again for 19 years putting up with Tony. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. And thanks. You were there at the beginning, like you said. I remember at one point I said, Dan, should I be doing this?
I know.
You said, I'm sorry. Has your brain died while we're sitting here talking?
I know. I said, you got your own show. Like, they're giving you a show. And Tony said the same thing. He goes, they want us to just get our big fat heads on TV and yap. And then he goes,
that's the exact quote.
Does anybody care? And I go, they're giving you a show, Tony.
Owe you.
Okay.
We owe you something, at least golf. We owe you something, so thank you.
Let me co-host one time.
I'd love that. You're going to have to twist our arms for that.
Yeah, I think the mothership, I'd have to.
You're fine with the mothership now.
I would have to clear it with them.
Okay. So
Great if I just showed up one day and I didn't connect with anybody at the mothership? would I last the whole half hour?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah. We'd love that.
Just want to make sure. All right.
You're on to something.
I'm ready. Let's just plant the seed. One day, Mr. Tony is on vacation and I just show up. I'll be in his attic. I'll just show up from his attic. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Michael Wilbon. We're back with your phone calls after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Some interesting matchups in the NFL this weekend. Not a lot of great college football matchups. Patriots at the Bills is interesting because Buffalo doesn't normally beat New England. You have the Cam Newton situation. How tenuous is that? Could he lose his starting job if he doesn't play well against Buffalo? Rams at Miami. You get to see the debut of Tua. San Francisco at Seattle. Is San Francisco for real? And is this going to be a scoring slugfest between the two? Dallas at Philly is interesting just because they're two damaged teams, but you know, one of those two is probably winning the division. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, that's the marquee matchup. I want to see Baltimore in a big moment here. I want them to win a big game here because I've seen Pittsburgh go to Tennessee and win. That's a big game. Vegas at Cleveland is interesting as well. And I know that Baker Mayfield was a little sensitive this week, and understandably so, because I think he was asked by the local media, you know, will the Browns be better without Odell Beckham? And I don't know if they'll be better. They're going to be different. And it's not a fair question to Baker. I said that Baker will be different. The team will be different. And that might mean that they have better success as a team. I don't think they're a better team without him. I think they're a different team without him. And they were playing well with him. And he's not the cause of all their problems. You know, that I know we like to focus on him. He's a lightning rod. But, you know, there's other things at play here with the Cleveland Browns. You know, they were blown out twice in games. You know, have they beaten anybody where you go, boy, now I got a pretty good idea of how good they are? I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure where Las Vegas is, you know, how good the Raiders are. Because I feel like they're going to be on the cusp of the playoffs. But I don't know if they're a playoff team. I want to see them in a big spot. And going to Cleveland and winning in Cleveland, that would be a big spot there. I think that would be an impressive win for them. But if you're looking at a primetime game, you got Dallas at Philly, Tampa Bay at the Giants. Ouch. Dallas-Philly, because of the two big markets and the fan base for the Cowboys, they probably still do a good number. Tampa Bay at the Giants. Is this the kind of game the Giants win? Yeah, McLovin.
They have some COVID issues, too. Like, their offensive line is there.
Yes.
So, I mean, if Tom Brady might have gotten lucky here, might sneak away with one. But the Giants actually were in it with the Eagles, and they were in it with the Cowboys.
They have gotten better. They're not winning, but they're not out of games. They play pretty well. Yeah, McLovin.
I saw one said John Harbaugh, the Ravens, is awesome after the bye, and they're coming off a bye against Pittsburgh.
Mm.
You know, I don't know.
The Clemson-Boston College game this weekend with no Trevor Lawrence, Paulie has been spending the better part of the last day trying to learn how to pronounce the backup quarterback for Trevor Lawrence. Have you mastered it yet, Paulie?
Mastered?
Yes.
No.
His first name is really easy. Isn't it DJ?
DJ.
DJ. Was he from Bosco? Don Bosco in Los Angeles?
Yes. St. John Bosco?
Oh, John Bosco, not Don. That was his brother. John's brother, Don.
Not as much of a saint, by the way.
No.
His name's David John.
Isn't there a Don Bosco in Jersey?
Yes.
Okay, that's his brother. But it was St. John. I don't think he was St. Don. All right, final hour coming up. Dave Roberts from the Dodgers and Chris Fowler stops by.